Hello, this is Christina of Lacuna Coil, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral Podcast.
Hi, this is Mike.
Hey there, this is Dave.
And this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral Podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Coil community. It is episode 169. Why does that feel like it's an important episode? Probably because it's got 69 in it. So childish. Such children. But yes, it's 169th episode of the Empty Spiral Podcast. It's a bit of a special one, which we'll come on to in a minute. But before we get to that, let's check in, shall we? Let's do a little bit of a kind of a health check around the room, as it were. How have you guys been? Dave, what have you been up to?
Stuff. It's life,
stuff.
Isn't it?
Stuff.
Ups and downs and boring bits and more fun bits. It's just life. I mean, obviously, Lacuna Coil makes it better. And we've had the album release, of course. And the video release for Wish You Were Dead.
Inside of my head.
And never leaves your head. I mean, talk about the earworm.
I did warn you guys, but I did say it is an earworm. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
But yes, video is fantastic as well.
Oh my god,
how good is that?
Yeah, and I've seen you've already started practicing, I've noticed, Mr. Jones.
Yes. I mean, you've got to encourage everybody to do the dance.
Cosplay. Yeah, we need to set up some videos or an instruction thing. I said to them, and you're gonna hear this in a little while, spoilers, but I did say that what we need from Lacuna Coil are like those instructions you get on aircraft, you know, like the really, really kind of stylized people doing the dance, like it's some kind of, you know, plastic emergency sheet, like you hand out at the concert, say, this is what you need to do, like an instruction thing.
That would be cool. I want people as well, because this doesn't work for me because I'm self-employed at work from home on my own. But for people who work in offices and with groups of people, they need to teach work colleagues to do this so they can like film random people who don't really know what they're doing.
I just feel like there's a Lacuna Coil fan base flash mob somewhere in the future with a big rate, you know, a big system playing I Wish You Were Dead, and then everybody just kind of rocks up and does it.
It's a good way of spreading the word.
I feel like it is. Anyway, we've jumped ahead of ourselves. So yes. No. So you've been having fun with the Wish You Were Dead video and of course other stuff as well. Mike, what have you been up to in this crazy world in which you live in?
So Thursday started the performances of our Scout and Guide show. So
what are you doing?
It's a variety of songs and sketches, and I've been building scenery for that since January.
Nice.
So I shift all the scenery backstage, and it's our 60th year, so quite a good thing.
You've been doing it for 60 years? It
doesn't look a year over 25.
You look good on it, mate.
It really does. That's why my hair.
That's why your hair is kind of short today. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so that and work and going to Italy soon after the show finishes, the show run, so...
It's at the moment, the regularity of our podcast is very much dependent on when Mike's in the UK.
Yes.
Which is partly the reason why it takes us so long to bring episodes out. Yes, I'm basically blaming it on you, Mr. Dyer.
My bad.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you?
Eat.
What have I been up to? God, I don't know. Work.
You've been building Lego again, haven't you?
I did, yes. I completed Rivendell, which is behind me.
Another huge monster of a set.
Yeah. Rivendell has been complete. I've got no more Lego to do, by the way. So I bought Rivendell last year. So I'm very selective. I only got back into Lego. We talked about this a few times. I only got back into Lego last year when the Dune Ornithopter came out. And then, of course, they brought out the Barad-dûr, you know, Tower of Sauron, which I had to get. And then I thought, if I've got that, I might as well get the Rivendell one. So those are kind of my three. I don't have really any more room. I've already had to shuffle things around in my man cave just to make space for the Rivendell one. I don't know if I'm going to get the bag end one that they've just announced in the last couple of weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Need to find an appropriate flat surface for that as well. So, yeah. It's all good, though.
Happy dusting.
Yeah. So is there any hot tips on how to dust Lego?
No, I leave it because it becomes such a nightmare. You're doing it every other week. I was like, you know what? I can't be bothered. I'll just... Right. I'll wipe away the thick cobwebs after a couple of months and then leave it as it is.
I was kind of thinking that the only real way to do it is to get like a vacuum cleaner, right? And just have a vacuum cleaner and a little, and a, you know, a pair of tights or something so that the bits don't get mixed up with the dust, and then just kind of, you know, hoover. And if something falls off, you put it back on again. Because it's quite resilient.
You can get the little air jet air gun things, blasters. To sort of blow across it, but you may as well just literally blow on it yourself.
Yeah, well, I've got one of something like that, which you use to sort of blow dust off of a camera. So I could use one of those, but I spend all my time going...
My hot tip is don't bother.
Yeah, I've not done it on the Barragira, and I've had that nearly a year now, so every time I walk past it, I sort of run my finger along a flat surface and go, yep, that's the dust from Mount Doom, that is.
It's authentic.
It's just authentic. Yeah, that's from the volcano. Yeah, so maybe Rivendell needs to be a bit cleaner because, you know, elves. But then again, he's really old, so there's always going to be dust mites and dust balls and stuff everywhere. Anyway, talk about Lego again. What is going on with this?
Sorry.
It's all right. So we're just in a happy mood. And that's it for me. So, yeah, building Lego. Thank you for reminding me of that. Painting a few of my miniatures, watching a bit of TV. Severance series 2, blowing my mind, stuff like that. You know, it's all good fun in between lots and lots of work. And then there's Lacuna Coil, who are currently on the other side of the world hemisphere, right? They're in South America at the moment. And if we're lucky, thanks to Pumbi and others, we get a chance to see them via Instagram Live, which I've seen a couple of times, which is always good to join. And they're playing a few new songs off of the album. We're playing Gravity, right? And then we're getting, in the meantime, Host in the Shadow, Oxygen. Wish You Were Dead. And of course, Wish You Were Dead.
Which is obviously proving to be quite a hit already.
Of course. I mean, why? It's just a...
It's a surefire winner, isn't it?
Isn't it just? You know, it's a high energy. I'm not going to say pop because it's not pop, but it's got a lot of bounce to it, hasn't it? And as you say, there's a dance which can be learned, and clearly they have a lot of fun singing it. And of course, as soon as you see them having fun on stage singing it, then the energy seems to be passed seamlessly to the crowd, and they're all having fun as well. So it's, you know, it's a great experience all around. I can't wait till, you know, the end of the year, or well, maybe the middle of the year, depending on what happens with festivals, to see it live for myself. But yeah, it's good to see that. I'm also hoping that we're going to see a few more of them over the course, you know, like at the end of the year. Wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know, The Siege, maybe something like that. Yeah. You know, I could see that live. And, you know, dare I even say Sleep Paralysis might be a bit of a challenge. I don't know. Feels like it's a different style of song, but it could work. Anyway, we will see. And of course, not long after the Latin America tour, then they head off to the US supporting Machine Head, which, you know, we are sending our special agent in the field to go and see. That's you, Mr. Dyer. So good luck getting out again. Hopefully that you won't get kicked out.
Or even arriving.
Yeah. Just don't look suspicious because you know.
That's what gets me really with the Esther, that your social media section's optional. And I never fill it in, but I'm always thinking in the background, they'll always do a background check anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
And that's what's catching people out, I think, by writing stuff.
I don't think I've ever put my social media thing on there.
No, I haven't.
No, I don't think. No.
No.
You know what I've said? You know what they say? LinkedIn will get you a job. Facebook will lose you a job.
Exactly. So
it may well be these days that LinkedIn will get you into America and Facebook will get you chucked out again.
Get you into jail. Yes.
So anyway, joking aside, it's a pretty serious situation, to be fair. But I hope you don't have any issues at all. And I hope the band don't have any issues getting over there and doing the tour. So I guess we'll see in a couple of months how that all plays out. Quite literally, in fact. Yeah. Anyway, we have chewed the cud, as they say, as presumably farmers say, or sheep herders say. I don't know who says it, but they say it. We've been doing that for a while now. When this episode of the Empty Spiral podcast It's a bit of a special one because we are dedicating it to the interview that we did on the 13th of February. So this was the day before the release of Sleepless Empire. And it was in the hours before and after the release of the video, I Wish You Were Dead. So it was recorded at the Lacuna Cause Hotel in London. So I met them about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes before the video went live. So there was obviously a lot of attention on the video and the reaction and so forth. So we had to stop it. There was the reaction. There was lots of conversation. And then we continued with the interview for the best part of an hour or so afterwards. Suffice to say, it is an Empty Spiral interview, which means it's a very natural interview. So what you hear is Lacuna Coil, right? Being the people that we love, being themselves and chatting and talking and making fun of each other and making fun of me, making fun of the podcast and just, you know, talking about the music, talking about Sleepless Empire particularly, but also reflecting on some of their older works of music as well. So I hope you enjoy it. It is pretty raw. There is a bit where you can barely hear anything, but that's because Marco is intentionally scrunching a crisp packet by the microphone. Okay. It goes on for about 20 seconds. I've not cut it, all right? So beware of your ears at that point in time. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoy it. I wish you were dead inside of my head, a particle of dust that slowly disappears. We're in London. I'm sitting here with Lacuna Coil. We're going to talk about...
Correct.
The Sleepless Empire, or Sleepless Empire, your album, which is out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very, very, very soon. And we've already heard a lot of the singles, which is amazing. And I've had the privilege of also listening to the entire thing, and I've reviewed it, and it's just wow. So I'm very excited to talk to you about it. But we're going to do something a little bit different here. I'd like you all to introduce yourselves.
Oof.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you, sir. Who are you? What are you
doing? Come on. Seriously?
Okay. Seriously.
Ciao, mi chiamo Marco. Ho 50 anni e non mi drogo da 15 giorni. What do I have to say? Okay, hey, hi, it's Mikey from Lacuna Coil.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you, buddy.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Good chat.
And I'm the bass player, okay. Kind of. And
kind of.
Kind of, like, yeah. It. I try to play bass, yeah. At least on stage.
Okay, let me talk for him. It's going to take 2 hours.
A songwriter, I'm a good chef, actually.
Good chef.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's basically the mastermind of Lacuna Coil. You need a leader in the band. I mean, he's not only, you know, responsible for the majority of the music, he's the internal producer, but he's also the one that sets deadlines, which is really important because, I mean, we are Italians. We love what we do, but sometimes we're procrastinating because we're also very busy doing other stuff like tours and you know how it works. So he's excellent not only in writing music, but he's also good in setting up points,
okay.
Deciding, guys, we got to get it done by this date.
I will buy you beer.
And he's a jerk as well. He's a chef and he's a jerk as well.
He's a jerk.
Yeah.
Okay. So he covers a lot of bases there, a lot of area. So who are you exactly?
I am the female singer in the band.
A female
together,
singer in a metal band?
Yes.
Wow.
In Lacuna Coil.
What's that
really? How does it feel to be a
female? I'm not going to answer how does it feel to be a woman in a metal band because I've been answering this for almost 30 years.
I just scratched that one off of my list.
Yes, I've been in Lacuna Coil since 94, basically,
okay.
When we met, but officially from 98 when our first EP came out. I write lyrics with Andrea. I find vocal lines. I am having fun on stage, and I am somehow the face of Lacuna Coil as well, because, of course, we do a lot of pictures.
She has a nice feet, and
five stars on Wikifeet. That's what I've been told. Yes, I found out that there were fans.
And it's all about that. That's the most important.
I mean, come on. I mean, you can be famous for your voice. You can be famous for, I don't know, your face, your outfits. But five stars on Wikifeet. So there you go.
Outfeet.
All right, we'll put the link in the show notes of the podcast.
Please vote five stars. Thank you.
But TripAdvisor, but the toes. Okay, moving around. Who are you, Sam? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm Richard. I'm the noisy guy in Lacuna Coil.
Right.
I basically play the drums when I'm not busy voting for Christina's feet on Wikifeet.
he has one star on Wikifeet.
I have one star, because the other guys don't vote for me. And I love spritz.
Okay.
Pokemon cards.
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah, long walks on the beach.
Okay, all right, thank you.
He's a good chef as well.
Super simple guy.
Okay, and Pokemon cards. Yeah, you need to mention Pokemon. Yeah,
okay. Awesome.
Okay, moving around. I reckon by 8 o'clock we would have got the introductions done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to take...
Yeah, I'm going to be a vocalist and lyrics with Christina. And internal, not manager is too much of a big word.
I would say so.
I don't know if there's another word in Italian, but in English.
Internal manager.
He's the one who is dealing with tour managing.
All the internal stuff, talk to the agent, talk to the manager.
Production manager.
Yeah, I get that.
Internal in the sense that I'm... We also have a manager, we also have an agent and everything, but I do the middle man with all these people and all the internal stuff, the logistics, the executive producer kind of thing.
Yeah. Executive producer, it's a good term.
Budgets and stuff like that.
Okay. Right.
He's the one who makes sure that, you know, everything is working.
To survive and to survive projects and go on tour and all that.
You're a survival expert. Okay, thank you very much for the instructions. Let's talk about Sleepless Empire. So, tell me a little bit about the album in your own words. What's its theme? What's its message? What is it like?
We've
explained it quite often recently on many interviews, and I think the overall idea is that we don't have a proper concept, in the sense that it's not a 70s record where you have a unique story that develops through all the songs, but we have like one common theme, like just like in a movie, you know, there's a storyline, but then there's different characters, you know, and the storyline for Sleepless Empire is the fact that it's an observation on society, on how much we're always connected, always looking at our phones, looking at our social medias, platforms for streaming, Netflix, Prime, all this stuff. But even if we have a lot of these, in reality, we see people, it still feels quite alone and quite empty sometimes, even with all this overload of information that we get in modern times. And it's basically an observation, because we also do the same. It's not that we are immune, you know, we're not, it's that we don't do it, we also do it. So it's not a critique straightforward, it's more like an observation of how the society has developed, especially also
developed.
And especially after the pandemic, you know, we've noticed a lot of people that for being forced to live on the internet for the pandemic. And they never really got back to a normal life, you know, or sometimes, but not all the time. So that's the overall idea of this huge empire, which is sleepless because we're always on, we're always connected, and very often we portray stuff that is not reality. You know, we portray the best picture, the best places, the best food, the best clothing, the best, but very often is not what most of the people experience.
Yeah. And where did that theme come from? Did it grow organically during the writing process, or did you set out and say, we're gonna create an album with this thing?
At first, the songwriting was a little bit scattered, because I would say that we started to collect ideas right after, or even in the meanwhile, we were writing Comalize XX.
Yeah.
Rewriting Comalize XX. That's where I would say that the sparkle started again after the creative block of the pandemic, we started to write music again, and all the ideas started to come out. Then we decided, as usual, to stop every activity, every tour activity, to go back home and focus on the new record.
Sure.
And I have to say that the process has been like very intense. Maki spent like days and night in the studios to just try to create some demos, and then he sent them to us to collect ideas. Andrea wrote separately, I wrote separately, Richard like listened to the drum parts and rewrote according, of course, to the way he plays. And then everything
to
came.
To simplify all of them.
See, I have to live with this.
Of course, must be a nice.
That's the respect I have from the band.
Oh, I'm kidding.
And in the end, everything was cohesive as usual. We always take a little time to get in the zone, but then once we start to complete one, two, three songs, like everything comes like very organically and spontaneously, and we can write forever. So
how do the two of you share the songwriting? Because, you know, as you say, Andrea does some of the lyrics, you do some of the lyrics. How do you share that? How do you compare that? Do you write for the same song and then you bring it together?
We throw ideas on the table, sure, and we work for the song. Sometimes it's almost, I don't want to say obvious, because I mean, yeah, we don't work in an obvious way, but if a part is very heavy, we find it kind of cool if Andrea enhances even more this aggressive part. And if there is something melodic and epic, it kind of makes sense if I do it. Yeah. We like to mix up things.
But
it's not always...
But this is about the vocal lines and music, about the lyrics.
Yeah, the lyrics.
Ah, the lyrics.
Lyrics usually, it's always about the strongest idea. Like if she comes up with a chorus that says, I wish you were there. Obviously, that's something we're going to keep. Because it's strong and it's meaningful. And so... We build the other lyrics for the verse around that concept, because that's the strongest concept, you know. So if we have a strong concept, we keep that and try to build a song around that
concept. But it's not an easy job.
But it's not easy, because obviously sometimes you have to fit words that are, you just improvise when you make the vocal line, and maybe they're not really meaningful, or they don't connect to the chorus, or they're too simple, or we already use them in another song, or, you know, sometimes you don't think about it and you come up with the same line.
We never write the lyrics before the music is made, because in our opinion, everything has to get along perfectly. We just don't want to force it. We are inspired by the music, and then we write the lyrics, and they have to sound just right, like we are adding to instruments. And this is something that I said many, many times, but we are working for the song. We are not working to, hey, Andrea's singing or Christina's singing, so they can be up front because they're the singers. It's a fucking band, so you have to hear everything, you have to hear all the layers, and of course the lyrics are communicating something strong, but they have to evoke some emotions.
But this time,
in the lyrics and in the sounds of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. This time, compared to other albums, we always work in this way. We used to work in this way since ever. But this album, I think, is more, I don't know, tight.
For real. Cohesive.
I praise this because the part, the music... And the lyrics, they are very connected compared to in the past with other songs, that sometimes maybe I was writing that songs and I was feeling something, you know, and then they wrote lyrics on that song, so completely different because they were feeling a different way, you know?
Sure.
This time, a lot of shit happens, you know? Mm-hmm. On my side, definitely, for my life, you know it. You know, I talked to you about this.
For his,
you know,
personal life.
For my personal shit, in the last 3 years, it was a mess. So you can feel that probably on the album, on the music. But even Andrea and Christina, they feel that probably on that. And when they start to write, think about the concept of the album, everything comes very connected. If you listen the song, every song compared to Scarecrow, it means, so you listen to Scarecrow, you read the lyrics, and you feel the music is one thing, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes you feel a song that it sounds like very heavy or very emotional, very, I don't know, they inspire you something like a war, or go to do a battle, you know, and the lyrics you talk about how you make a cake, you know, that's the connection.
It's also the way we write the lyrics. If we try always, if it starts from one idea that because she has a fight with somebody and she comes with a phrase that she has, but then with the way we write it,
I'm violent.
but in, we try to write it in a way that even if it starts from that feeling of the fight, but then we bring it a bit more open so you can adapt it to. If he has a fight for some other reason,
for
that
other
not the
reason,
same as
exactly.
us, well, you can still, the song is about the fight.
You
know,
can,
it doesn't
can
matter
that,
which
you know.
Fight, you know.
But this time, I think that we worked in. Actually, this time, compared to the other album, so compared to the last 30 years, not 2 days, we had lyrics ready before the end of the songs, you know. This has never happened. So we had the chance to build up everything in the same at the same time, you know.
It's been a long process.
I build this building in a proper way, not build just the top and then go to the roof and basement, you know. It's just growing up together.
Yes.
And
it's been a really rewarding process for everybody to build.
We talk, we spend a lot of time meeting each other and talk about.
It's mandatory to be in the same place.
In the past, it was more mandatory. Just go to the practice room, rehearsal room, and play together, you know? When you play together with the other band member, there's the same problem about the same question you ask to them, you know? What's the point to write the lyrics with two minds and one lyrics, one song, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
It's the same for music. Music, you have five elements in the band. Maybe all of them, they are composer, musician, and they try to put something in the song. 90% of the time it comes out a chimera. You call it chimera?
Chimera.
And 10% of the time it comes out a good song.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Same for them, for the vocals, you know, for the lyrics.
But I think in general, this album, we've been very, very severe with everything.
Yes.
Like from the music, the vocals.
Music, artwork.
The lyrics, even the lyrics. We erase a lot of lyrics.
And I was going to that point. This time, even if we didn't spend hours and hours in the practice room playing together, we spent a lot of hours sit together and talk about the meaning and what the emotion of this song. This song, it sounds like that you had that. Let's talk about this, you know. And I think you feel it. You feel. And maybe this is a good starting point.
Yeah,
it might
sound mechanical, but truth is trying and recording stuff and then we would be listening to it in the same room in the studio. And if we had
organic.
Goosebumps,
it's
it was
not,
just like,
it's not mechanic.
Fuck yeah, we got to keep it.
It's not mechanic. When you feel a verse with a scream and the scream make you angry or... you feel it. You feel it when he's maybe just because you have a vocal line, you have to sing it that way, or you feel it, you sing it that way because you are pissed the fucking hell. That's the point. You really feel that.
See, I've mentioned this before. I don't remember vocals. I mean, lyrics very often.
Yeah,
so
I
don't
know that.
Getting
me,
old.
Yeah, it must be the age thing, of course. Thank you.
Sometimes I forget them too on stage.
Well,
there you go.
Getting old, Thomas.
I'll give it back later. But what I do feel is the emotion for the song. And I think it's really important that every song has got an emotional undertone or even an overtone, right? It's got to be there. And I think Sleepless Empire is filled with emotion, and actually unpacking that takes time. When you're listening to it, you need to embrace each song. Like, what emotions am I feeling? Well, you don't even need to ask yourself because they're really front loaded for me. And I think that's really powerful as an output. Now, it's been 5.5 years since Black Anima, which is a long time between albums. Now, obviously, in the middle of that, we have XXX. And when I listen to Sleepless Empire, there's a lot of respect for the sounds from your previous albums, right?
Absolutely.
Did Comalize XX?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. First, easy, because the way I mean, I never studied music, you know that very well. Yeah. So it's very, everything is very emotional. So when you start to build up something, for example, it helped me a lot. To me, we made Heaven's a Lie.
Yeah.
Because to me, now is one of my favorite songs of Lacuna Coil. Mm-hmm. And before, it was one of the whatever song of Lacuna Coil.
Yeah.
You know? Because now that Heaven's a Lie is exactly what it felt at the time when I wrote the original one. Yeah. You know, it was gothic, angry, and dark.
Yeah.
Okay, goth. Now it is. And that, it's, I say, wow, when I listen to that song, I have those goosebumps, you know? Mm-hmm. And now, not with the original, because I never had the fucking goosebumps. With the new one, every time I listen to it, I have a goosebump. Yeah, so it means something. And probably my fucking body, my brain, I don't know, because I do just everything, you know, naturally, like this. I don't never study any fucking anything about music, you know. It just came out, and everybody told me that. They feel it. They feel the old goth generation, the connection with Kamalais. And I think it's human. It is normal, you know. It happens in every job, I think, this kind of connection. If you go back and you start to do or redo the what you were thinking 20 years ago, you know. And I like that. Plus, because the problem, I had my personal problems, you know, as I told you before, that you know it, everything, but about those problems, I went back to listen even old riff. I got stuck in my computer forever, you know. I never used them because they were too old. They were not the right thing at that moment, you know. And I remember when I posted like a few years ago, I did a post on Instagram saying that I was throwing away a lot of riff I wrote in the past. And all the people just complain about it. That in that process, I was throwing away a lot of stuff, plus get a lot of stuff. For example, Oxygen. The main riff of Oxygen is a riff I wrote for Dark Adrenaline. Can you imagine that?
Wow, okay.
Can you imagine that? Dark Adrenaline. Well, which year is what? When I came back to Dark Adrenaline, 2014, 2016, 2012.
Maybe,
I don't fucking remember. More than 10 years ago.
More than 10 years.
I still have that fucking do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da- easy. I don't know. It's the moment. See? So that connection is massive, even compared to Black Anima and Delirium, other album, you know. Mm-hmm. Now it is. Actually, I'm thinking about doing it again, that things. Rewrite Comalize for the third time next time, and then...
Please don't.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Comalize XXXXX.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sweeping question across all of you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think sets you guys apart is I love the songs on the album, but they absolutely burst into life. They come into their own when you sing them live. I just love it. Okay, no matter what the song, no matter what the album, even a song that I kind of go, oh, that's not my favourite song, and then I hear it live and it's just incredible. So what, off of the album, which songs are you looking forward to playing or singing live?
Oof.
Maybe of the ones we haven't played yet, I would say probably The Siege and Gravity.
Okay. Which
For me, it's going to be The Siege as well, and The Scarecrow.
Scarecrow too, yeah.
Great, what about you?
For me, maybe Gravity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are many, many of them. I mean, I already enjoyed to do Never Dawn, which makes me feel great every single time, and I was in The Shadow as well. But I would say Gravity, because it's very emotional, and I Wish You Were Dead, because once you see the video... You'll find out why. I mean, you'll find out why. I think it's a very danceable song. I always loved to dance. I always loved choreographies. And this time we included one with the help of professionals. And it was a lot of fun. So knowing that the Lacuna Coil community likes to dance, so you guys created your own choreography.
Oh, yeah,
so this this time we got you covered, so we already have it ready for you. So I can't wait to see the first Raws.
All right, okay. I'm looking forward to
performing as you know as the best they can, because I mean, you'll see.
I think we'll surprise you just how good we can be.
You'll
what
see.
About you, Mackie?
By the way, 11 minutes.
What about me? It's like asking, would you tell me, which is your favorite daughter?
Okay, fine, moving on.
And what about your son? Yeah.
Okay, well, but
Kabir, so, but actually, well, I would love this. I mean, I really love all of them. I mean, In Nomine the Patris probably is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
And with the Siege, with Sleep Paralysis. But Never Dawn, I fucking love that song, obviously. But I mean, Oxygen, I can't wait to play that song live, because every song has a reason, okay?
Yeah.
So I can say I love
so
the 11th song.
Actually, so
I love all the 11 songs. Actually, 12, because we just removed one, but there was the 12th one. You will never know about it, but we have 12. It was 12 in the original.
Well, I know about it, but I just don't know it. You just told me. That's just another tease. I talked briefly about inspiration and where you got inspiration from and what inspired you during the album's creation. One of the things that occurred to me listening to Sleepless Empire is it's very cinematic. You know, with the openings, songs like Never Dawn with their opening. We know that's been used.
What are you talking about? Sorry.
The cinematic.
The album.
The songs have the sense of cinema. You can imagine many of them, if not all of them, somewhere on a movie soundtrack.
Dune.
Did that come into any of your thoughts intentionally when you were creating the album, creating something cinematic, or did that just occur organically?
It's also a dream of ours to write a full-on soundtrack for a movie. But the way Maki writes the music, it's absolutely cinematic, because he writes over the images. He always needs something visual to get inspired. So when he's alone in the studio...
It's the best and easy way to compose. I mean, make a soundtrack of everything. Richard does the same. It's very good. So,
and we are back.
And we are back. So the funny thing about that, no, because for you guys, because I asked him that, which is his favorite song about the Sleepless Empire, and now he said to me, Sleep Paralysis as well.
It's what I'm listening to the most.
Okay, so. Me too. Actually, that's a good point. I mean, I have to say, which is your favorite song?
Yeah.
You know. I love all of them. Which one is the one you listen to? Okay. The first two songs I wrote of this album actually are In Nomine Patris and Sleep Paralysis.
Okay.
And the riff of those songs, at least two or three riff on those songs, I wrote them before Never Dawn.
I actually remember some riffs of it in Nomine Patris that you
the
made me listen.
Two, three years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, really. I had the intro, and basically same as Oxygen. You know, when you have a part of a song, you like it, you want to keep it, but you don't know how to go.
Yeah.
And then magically, after 10 years, sit down with these two guys, you can find a way to go. It happens. It happens. There's no rules about that, you know.
But according to Richard there, it's a pain in the ass to play.
Mm.
Yeah, because sometimes the simple stuff is more complicated to play, or play properly, or play with the emotion. Yeah, it's not easy, you know.
There are always songs that are challenging for each one of us.
Yeah.
It could be for the voice, it could be for an instrument. We always have, you know, that song
that
it's challenging us,
yeah.
Which is great.
Because
you can get better at that, and
yeah.
It's something that you want to master as well. And I think it's also normal, because of this band, it's, you know, a togetherness of different peoples with different potential, with a different taste, and come together to do one thing and love every single song and love a whole record. It's magical. That's the beauty of music.
That's amazing. And it feels so cohesive, right? And I said it in my review that it feels like
it feels like a masterpiece in that it's taken all of the experience that you've gained working together over the years, and it feels so cohesive as a result of that. Like, you've really sunk so much energy into the album and so much experience into the album. It's really mature in that respect, which I think is great. We were talking earlier about how cinematic it is. I just want to reflect for a moment how, when I first listened to it, I expected Never Dawn to be the opening because of its opening, you know, the opening bars of Never Dawn. Mm-hmm. It felt like kind of an opening. But when I heard The Siege, felt like a natural start to the album. Do you know what I mean? It really kind of opens it. It's just so well. It's short, and then we get the vocal line. And there's a really strong cohesion, like a harmony between Andy's growl vocals and your clean vocals in that song, which I think is amazing. It's so strong.
It's the beginning of the battle.
Yeah. And it's just, it just goes on from there, right? The whole album just flows really, really well. How much time did you spend ordering the album, deciding where the ebbs and flows are?
It took a while because each one of us had a different opinion. Sometimes we were agreeing on some things.
I guess we were all agreeing about starting with The Siege.
I actually wanted to put it at the very end, because to me it's beautiful to end up with.
So Christina was.
For me, it was the last one, and not because. I never thought about the last song in a record to be the worst one. For us, it's completely different. We take so much care for each song that every song is has the same importance. But in my opinion, it was great to finish with such an epic ending that was ending with a release. With a relief of something, and in
she wanted to start with In Nome de Patris and finish with
but
she was the only one.
Whatever, I agree. Oh, guys, 1 minute 36.
Yep.
35,
34. So.
Yes.
You just watched the reaction to I Wish You Were Dead, the video.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the reaction from people around the world watching it?
So
everyone was very happy. Everyone was very happy. Some of the ones that were on board on this chat said that it's too short, which is great. It is not a long song, but when you feel that a song is short, it means that you're enjoying it you want more.
Yeah.
So that is a great sign. We had so much fun during the realization of this video. It was also a lot of work because he took a lot of pre-production. You saw, you know, the guys dancing and me coming in at the very end, Andrea and I doing the tango. It's something that we've never done before, but you know very well that we like to incorporate this kind of macabre humor as well. We're all fans of movies. I think that this video made by Sanda Movies, it's really Sweeney Todd-ish, Tim Burton-ish in a way. The story behind it is basically that we are all dead and we're living our everyday life, that it's absolutely normal, even with torturing the the persons that are around us. And Andrea is the only one that is alive. So the purpose the purpose is that there is so much love in between me and him that I try desperately to kill him because I want him to be with me forever and be with us in our own normality. So I think that the script was amazing when we saw it. We loved it from the first glance. And it's also a very difficult video to do because if you will rewatch it, you will see that there are very, very few cuts. So the camera was following us along. It was very difficult to have everything perfect from the ball following, you know,
all the bullshit in the background.
From the very beginning, you know, up until let the mechanism start. But also choreography had to be perfect. Just the space.
The dancers
were
super
amazing.
Pro dancers.
I'm looking forward to seeing you do that properly later on.
So everything had to be perfect. The dance, the movements, the parts that you feel, the movement that you make to feel all the space. Of course, you're not the cameraman, so you don't know what you're doing. You have to do your best, and the cameraman has to be really good to follow you. But there are like four cuts in all the video. There is a cut when I enter the room and I bring the cake, and the other one is when we are going to the altar.
And
then it's maybe three cuts.
Four cuts. I mean, that's it.
Io che entro con la torta. Quando porto la torta ad Andrea, ballettino, coreografia, io che lo prendo, mi tolgo la scarpa, cerco di ucciderlo e poi andiamo all'altare.
E dopo c'è
e poi four in the video. So it was very difficult to bring everything together.
One mistake, redo everything.
Exactly.
But that was fun. We tried.
But the result is amazing because you get that sense of continuity all the way through.
The first day, it was just practice.
Pre-production practice.
All day long with filming with the phone to see, and just the last shot it was filming with the camera, just to see the wide angle. But the rest, you know, so just it was a try for everything, you know, for the cameraman, for the director, for us, for the dancer, for everything.
And, nobody told me and Dani we had to dance.
And me as well.
You know what? We found that out in the day. I'm really proud of you guys because, I mean, I love to dance and I always dreamt about having a choreography, maybe because, you know, I just love to watch choreographs in other videos. But Dave took everything so seriously, which I was very surprised. Even talking to Martina,
we have to do it. Why not?
Martina, the director, she was just like, it would be cool if there would be a dance. I mean, I have some friends that they're choreographs, that they're great dancers. It would be cool for the mood of the video that also has to be a little fun, not stupid fun, but it has to be that sarcasm that you see in Tim Burton's movies. You know, it has to be kind of creative in this way as well. And they took it so seriously. We have awesome videos of them like trying to learn the choreographs, and they don't dance. I've been knowing them for so many years. They never dance. I never saw them dancing in a club unless they're hammered and they're just like, you know, moving.
I'm pretty sure.
But they are not dancers.
Yeah, you know when you're at a club super drunk and pretend to be a good dancer, but then you see the video and the next day and...
Yeah, Martina, the director, was so impressed because she said, I worked with many people, but you showed that you are true professional, so because you took seriously even something that you never did before, you still wanted to challenge yourself doing something different and make it look good. And I think that the video is phenomenal because it's really modern, but also with that touch of like old school goth stuff. The clothes are amazing, the makeup is amazing. The choreographs are incredible. Also, creating a choreograph for someone who's not able to dance is not easy.
No, because
you kind of have to create moves that everybody can do.
Yeah.
So I really hope that the next Lacuna Coil shows that there will be like the first raw
dancing with us. So that's the challenge to Lacuna Coil fans everywhere. Watch the video over and over again.
We are going to post the tutorials because we know, I mean, you can still watch the video, but it's so fast that you might not catch the choreography. We are going to show you.
I feel like what we need... This is the challenge to you guys. Is we need a choreograph paper, like you get the emergency cards in planes with the images of the people.
Yeah, with the steps.
So it'd be kind of meant to lead that kind of thing. But so that's the challenge out to everybody. Learn it at the live shows and just do this stuff.
Cool.
Inspiration. Remember, I said at the beginning about how you were inspired. And I also mentioned that the songs are very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were writing the lyrics or when you were writing the music, did anything inspire you, like new movies or anything like that?
Yeah.
What?
To be honest, you know, you guys know already about documentaries, horror movies and blah, blah. But sometimes I have more vibes from action movies.
Okay.
For example, if I put Marvel on it, they got more. Maybe because I love the soundtracks, the Marvel soundtracks.
Yeah.
Of the all the whatever. What's the name again? The Avenger Wars, you know. Mm-hmm. And that one. It's helped me a lot, actually. So I could say, depending on what I'm making, if it's a more goth or more alive song, you know?
Yep.
Actual movie probably does more.
Okay.
Come on.
What about lyrically? Is there anything that has inspired you when you were
Well, usually
at
not movies. It's not more movie. About real life, usually. You
yeah.
start from a feeling or something that happened or a situation around you, and then you develop it more widely, you know, in a broader way. But we don't start from a fantasy creation. Also.
Maybe for lyrics is the other way around, because as I told you a while ago, we get inspired a lot by the music that Maki's writing, and also we try to create a vision with whatever we are saying, because we are describing a story, so we are also sometimes describing the locations in which the things we are writing are happening, so we can give a description of the moment, and in this way whoever is listening can kind of visualize something. So if Maki writes the music over some images that he sees somewhere and that inspires him, we get inspiration from the music, but we try to add colors with our lyrics as well, if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly does. Let's talk about the art on the album.
Okay. The artwork.
Was it Roberto
Todorico?
Todorico.
Yep.
Amazing artist. Oh, yeah. Follow him on Facebook and stuff. And how did that relationship start? How did you get in contact with him?
He's from Naples. He stole my wallet, and we met him.
We met him years ago. The first time I met him was at the comic convention in Parma.
No.
The very first time.
Sure,
he was there with his portfolio, because he works and is working
Thank
nowadays.
You
Thank you, fucking kid.
he did collaborations.
For those of you who wonder what that was,
la famo.
Cosa?
Let's do it. We're never going to get it done.
You're so annoying, guys. Come on, you're relaxing.
Scrunching your
pasta. It's a day off. It's a day off.
It is a day off, but I was trying to focus on the answer.
Yeah. Focus the answer. I've seen my vibes.
So at this convention, he had his booth. He was presenting his artwork.
Yep.
And his portfolio was amazing. He created artworks for other bands as well. So he showed me, you know, the designs that he did for T-shirts of other artists, and it was already amazing. Then we met him again at Luca Comics. So we got, you know, closer to him as friends. And when we started to think about an artist that could describe the darkness of a sleepless empire, but could also have the twist that we were looking for, we thought about him. And the cool thing about Roberto is that he has his own distinctive style.
Yes.
But he wants to know more about the songs, the music, the concept, so he can get inspired as well. So it was like a full circle. Maki taking him inspiration from images, us taking inspiration from the music and life, and Roberto talking to us and chatting for each song, trying to figure out what we wanted to express with every song. So he would give us some sketches, and we were just like, okay, this looks beautiful, but this song is more about this than that. And it was a long back and forth, a lot of chats. And now we have a different artwork for every single song, the cover that it did brilliantly with. It's a full vision. We still love full records, and artwork is really important to give even more the idea of what you tried to deliver with your album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the album cover, I know you've spoken about this a lot. How was that developed? How did you decide on the skull?
I think the beginning of inspiration, because we were looking for an image to go with the title, not necessarily our final. There might be something to start from. And so we had the more or less the title, and then we had Scarecrow was the beginning of the first image we had from for the record, and then we, I think, we elaborate a little bit, and it goes from the scarecrow to the actual skull of the crow. So we started from one thing and then developed to the other.
Crow.
Yeah.
Dave wrote me specifically. It's just like, oh, you say crow. It's,
yeah, it's
crow.
Crow.
Crow. Yeah.
Crow.
It's like row with a C.
Crow.
Crow.
Yeah.
Crow.
So it started from there, I think, because we were we always need an image to sort of envision the record, you know, even if it's not the final image or it's not gonna be in the final.
I think the sketch
product
was made by Macchi. L'avevi fatto tu lo sketch del teschio del sì del
sì,
teschio del corvo con i due
no,
con
no,
i due
fatto
teschi laterali
fatto,
o
no, avevo fatto il teschio nel corvo, poi ha fatto Roberto, ha fatto il corvo da davanti, mi piaceva,
sì.
E io gli ho detto, perché non metti due teschi laterali? Perché praticamente, guardando il disegno che mi avevano dato, mi era venuto in mente il profilo di uno scheletro, gliel'ho detto, ha iniziato a disegnarne un po'. Ne
ok, so it was a sort of a collab in between them,
fino
because
fino
Roberto did
piaceva
a sketch and he thought about adding the two skulls, because the image was
reminding
him
of the size, you know?
Yeah.
So
looked
that,
like
oh,
a
why wouldn't try to? He was not really convinced in the beginning. To have the two sides of the skull on the size of the front forehead, the front image of the crow skull. We had to change the skull.
Yeah.
The real skull. Come si dice the anatomic, the real shape, no?
Yeah.
He was not very convinced about that, you know, because he said this doesn't remind me anymore a crow skull.
Mm.
No? And we work on that. Excel. If you see then to reach that point, we did at least 4 or 5 tentative.
I think what's interesting is
five,
unless you know to look for it, it's not obvious that it's for me. Like,
yeah.
You can see that you've got the side of the crow skull. There's definitely something there.
Yeah.
But what really brought it alive was the jewellery, you know, the pendant.
Yes.
When I saw that, and obviously it's got the dice on the back.
You can see
the side, you can see the...
But because that one is made different, you know, I did the same with the sculpture.
In the beginning.
Basically, obviously, in 3D, it was super easy to see a very bad result of something look good from the front, you know? Oh, from the front, it looks like the shape of the normal skull head on the side. No, then you turn it and you see like a mess, you know. So we had to add the normal skull, human skull,
mm-hmm.
the top of the human skull on the side, and then move it and do it. There's a lot of work in the back. It looks easy, you know, for the people to see the result, you know, but we spend a few days work on these, you know, but yeah. But in that way, in that dependent, you can really understand what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then we add the D20 because we want to add it for other reason, you know. But
that makes perfect sense.
I'm busy with my girlfriend.
A bit of a random question. So, was there any conscious relationship between the themes on this album and the song Cybersleep from Broken Crown Halo? Because Cybersleep has that kind of online, you know, identity kind of vibe about it, and I wondered if there was anything.
Cybersleep. I made that song absolutely with like James Bond style,
yeah.
You know.
It's wonderful.
That was one of the few songs I wrote watching action movies,
mm-hmm.
and you really tell about
yeah.
it. You know, it's like the chords, you know, the no, I don't know how to remember in English, porco dio.
The progression
of the chords in that song is typical, you know, from a classic action movie. Oh, those three amazing notes that everybody used, you know, yes, they are.
it's clear that it's got,
but from a story perspective,
there could be a connection.
No, but there's
because
no connection. I mean, you can find one if you want, because it talks about
it's,
but
it's not related also because like cyber sleep, it's more about something in between reality and dream, you know, and it's a dreamy world. In the case of Sleepless Empire, we're literally talking about the life we're living now, where we're
the
taking advantage of technology, but sometimes we overuse it. So it's probably a less dreamy concept. Cyber sleep was put down in a dreamy way somehow, you know, take me there, take my hand, transport me in a different dimension. That's an interesting connection.
We talked briefly about the videos, connections between them, obviously. In the Wish You Were Dead, we've got the glass coffin. Can we find any other connections there from the other videos that you've done? Because you've already done a few videos, right, for the singles.
No, the only one we thought about a little bit, which was also random, not really made on purpose, was that one has a little bit of fire, and in the meantime, there's the moment where you see the guy
when
the actor
is caught into thoughts, is like in between a sort of a hell with a lot of fire, completely surrounded by fire.
Then in oxygen you have water.
Yep.
In gravity you have air, because we float in the air. And this one should be land or ground.
Yeah.
In a way.
Well, I mean, we're not the buried, but we are in a coffin at the very end. So this,
but it's mostly a random thought that came after we actually filmed the video. So it's like we say, okay, we realize it was, but it wasn't made on purpose, not consciously.
Amazing. Somebody,
it doesn't really come across in the podcast what's happening. Okay, my last question. This was
my last question.
This is a question that was submitted through our Empty Spiral community, Discord server. And back in 2009,
I don't remember what I eat tonight. Come on!
Okay.
All right. When I was 20.
Shallow Life. In the Shallow Life era, would you have imagined...
I remember it just because I left my girlfriend. So
that you guys would have taken this heavier direction in your music today.
Say it again, because I would say.
Se nel 2009, quando il 2000 cos'è? 7-9? Se
7,
avremmo 9. Mai pensato che avremmo preso questa direzione più heavy che abbiamo preso adesso?
Actually, that album it was heavier, and the result it came out more mellow. We'll say mellow.
So it was heavier, but it came out more mellow. But
yeah, because the producer, you know,
okay,
he really liked Muse and the direction. I mean, the producer. He was Don Gilmore, not so coming from Avril Lavigne, Linkin Park, you know.
Yeah.
And when he listened for the first time those songs, especially Survive or a different song, not just Belvin, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I heard you fart. Okay, that's good.
It's just a fun buzzing. Sorry, it's just a fun.
I feel my leg. You know that movement? It sounds like a fart. Okay. He came out, especially. Okay, when he listened "Trip the Darkness," and it was amazing because "Trip the Darkness" not easy.
He's not on the album. That's
no, wait. But I wrote. Hey, guys, I wrote that song on Shallow Life. Then we use that song on Dark Adrenaline.
Quindi la langa, macchina.
Okay. No, serious. I'm serious.
You
don't even know. You're in there. She doesn't even know that. Okay.
And
it happens like the same thing with Don Garner. Basically, Through the Darkness, when I wrote that song,
it's
supposed to go on Shallow Life. You know, they like it. Then when we recorded Shallow Life in Dark Adrenaline that Don produced as well, you know, he said that's amazing, it sounds really like Muse. Yes, and I got afraid about it, you know, because I say, whoa, what do you mean? I wrote the heaviest, actually at that time, the heaviest riff I ever write in my life, you know, and he felt Muse. and say, respect the music, I like them, but it's not so pop, man. Yeah. And then he explained to me which was his view on the, of that song, you know, and actually was exactly like what happens in Shadow Life. He tried to move, in Shadow Life, what he did, he just take off everything that was metal, and he say, you have just to sing straight to the point, from the top to the beginning, from the beginning to the end of the song. Just singing all the time. Or the riff is too much. And the radio, they don't give a fuck about riffs. No? So he built up our music and our idea of music in that direction to do singles and do stuff more easy, you know, and more straight to the point. As it is Shallow Life, for example, and Spellbound, and these songs, no? What happens in Survive, for example, that it was quite hard, you know, that song. We start first with Chris to put down the BPM because it was too fast. And he wasn't able to play that. Then Don, he saw that problem. And what he said, okay, let's keep it easier. And we start to keep it made easier, all the album, you know, more simple. And it came out more poppy in a way.
Yeah, okay.
But the concept is not poppy.
So a follow-on question then. Right. And again, not a suggestion. I'm just throwing it out there because we discussed it in our last podcast when we were talking about this about Sleeper's Empire. We were talking about how you guys have gone on a musical journey. All right. And we touched on Coma Lies XX. We actually went through, just this week, we took the original song, like Swamped and Swamped XX, and we said, we voted which we prefer of the two, and we've made a Spotify playlist of our kind of what we think.
That's awesome.
Would be,
I want to know
the
this.
Empty Spiral version.
I want to know.
Okay, I'll send it to you. So anyway, my question is Shallow Life. Okay. Can you imagine what Shallow Life would be in the style of today's Lacuna Coil? What would it be like?
Heavier.
Well, we will definitely change the image that we delivered with Shallow Life, because it was completely misunderstood. A lot of people thought that we were actually turning into something that is not Lacuna Coil at all. While I think that there are songs in that record that are great.
Yeah,
maybe not the old record was in the focused, not good direction. More focused into a Lacuna Coil style, but I would change completely the image because now we...
Yeah, that was very bad.
And now,
I mean, not
now
live,
we,
not live.
No. I'm talking about like the images that we put in the booklet.
I'm thinking
about the promo images.
Yeah. No,
I think that they were not...
They were not fitting with the record, but...
Nowadays, it's so important, you know, to deliver the proper image, to even give the idea of the style that you want to deliver with your record. And unfortunately, not many people are able to figure it out. You know, they just look at a picture and they immediately think
they
that the
there.
Record is going to be like this. So the imprinting is so strong from the image that. I don't want to say that it's half of everything,
like
half of the package.
Like reading the caption.
But it's a big...
Just watching the picture and all
reading
the caption.
Yes, it plays a huge part. And some of the pictures that we took for Shallow Life were not...
I actually put it for my
Valentine.
Right.
Oh, not completely misunderstood. People thinking that we were going to do something that was similar to rap because... Andrea and I were dressed as a pop princess and a rapper, but that was a criticism to a Shallow Life. But it was totally misunderstood. And also, I remember that we thought about putting together like a campaign, a promo campaign that we couldn't really afford for many reasons, and not money wise. But more for other type of outlets. I mean, we wanted to do... I remember that we wanted to do something representing us as rebellious in society. And the concept was actually really good. I remember that we put out a teaser trailer with some white noise and got a lot of people curious. But we had in mind so many other videos to put together, but then it was not possible to create them in time. And in the end, it was kind of like not what we really wanted. So if we would do it today, first thing I would change.
The imagery.
I think it was a record that was out of focus in general. Okay. And there are some good songs in it, but I think the overall project was a bit out of focus. It wasn't enough, or not for us, maybe not good for us. You know?
I suspect you learn a lot from that process.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yes, that's why, as I was saying before about Trip to Darkness, when we did Dark Adrenaline, it was the same package, let's say. But at the end, I remixed the album with another guy, with the same guy we did, Marco Barusso.
Yes, no?
Because I knew that the mix of Jay Baumgarten, the Don Gilmore, it would came out the same, more poppy, you know. It was a great, to me, Don Gilmore, personally, is the best producer I ever had the chance to work with. And I learned a lot from him, really a lot.
Same for Andrea.
But to me, is not the right sound guy for us, the sound engineer for us.
Yeah, I think with him you should work on the structure of the songs, the lyrics.
Exactly.
And then you record it with different engineers, like more.
Not even recording is fine, it's just mixing, you know.
Yeah,
another guy makes the album, you know. That's my mistake. When I did say sound engineer, I'm talking about mix, not about the recording session. It was great. Donnie is a great player as well. He's really into music. It was super great. He was super great, and we learned a lot from him. But the point is, the way he mixed, it was more poppy. It was more Linkin Park.
Or like radio
and,
rock.
I don't like Linkin Park. That's not my sound, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a great band or whatever, I don't care. To me, I like to have stuff more metal. If you've seen in the Dark Adrenaline, when you listen to Dark Adrenaline, is basically almost the same song. I almost wrote all those songs in the same period of time, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you see the difference about the sound. Mm-hmm. The sound I want, the sound it came out with Shallow Life and Dark Adrenaline.
I think the other problem was also that Shallow Life was the first album we worked with Don, and it was the first time we changed producer from Valdemar. Because before that we always worked with Valdemar, and then we knew Valdemar, and he knew us. And then we tried with Don, and so it was the first time he was not focused. Second time was much better.
Oh, we tried and we believe in him. And actually, I mean, we are happy about the result, you know. It's not that... I would like to remake the sound of that album.
Hence the question. Would you go with it?
I'll just change the sound. Yeah. If I have to remix that song, that album, it will come out definitely much heavier, much more metal. Mm. When the people say to me now, when you start to produce the band, it sounds more metal. It's always like that. The point is that now I can do the mix and the produce and follow everything. When you have Don Gilmore, he produced in that way, or Jay Baumgartner, he mixed it in that way, you say, okay, cool, yes. You know, that's fine. They're monster. Why do you have to go against them, you know? But now, at least, I can have the sound. It's real Lacuna Coil. That's why Kamala's XX, it sounds more Lacuna Coil to me compared to the Valdemar. So it's true that 20 years is a lot, you know. But I mean,
but there's something in Sleepless Empire which feels like the journey of Lacuna Coil in the music.
There's a mix of together. Do you think? What do you think about which album is the most closest one of the previous one to this album, to Sleepless Empire?
Musically. I actually think that, I mean, it's obviously chronologically speaking, but I think Kamala's XX feels the closest to this.
Okay, yeah. And what do you think about Kamala's XX? Because it sounds to me way different than Black Animal.
Yes. I think the thing about Kamala's XX is it's got that, it feels like a chronological journey of Lacuna Coil, because you've got a 2002 album which you've deconstructed, reconstructed, Yeah. Okay, it feels like a 2022 album of Lacuna Coil. It's respectful of the original, and it has that feeling, that emotional quality of Lacuna Coil's music.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you get out of Sleepless Empire.
True.
That's,
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Final question.
Oh, he's still recording. Oh, okay.
Hello.
That's fine. We are talking.
I've completely forgot my question now. Let me think. Okay. So, what have you learned, every single one here, what have you all learned individually from recording, creating Sleepless Empire? What have you learned, Christine? What have you learned?
From Sleepless Empire? Well, it might seem stupid, but for many records, I recorded my voice standing up in front of the microphone.
Okay.
And on this record, I started to record sitting down. And this is something that I've always kind of pushed. Like, even in the past, I always wanted to do it. And I've always been told, like, oh, no, because the position has to be like that. And I always felt weird because every time I perform live, I'm always crouching. I'm always putting my foot on the monitor. And I'm never standing still. That's my position. I don't know. I never took lessons. So I don't know if it's a posture that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
But for myself, I feel that I have way more power and more breath if I stay in that position. So I expressed this desire when we did An Everdawn, that was the first song that we recorded, that was a few months before the actual process of the whole record. And I decided to sing sitting down. And I found myself more comfortable, more relaxed. Maybe this is the record in which I recorded my voice with less stress than ever. For me, recording is always very stressful because I don't know, there is something that it's like when you're getting ready to film something, as soon as the camera starts, you feel embarrassed and you feel more nervous. And for me, it was exactly the same. I was just like, ooh, I'm going to record. And even if I always did the part perfectly so far, a few seconds before the recording, I was getting very, very stressed. With this record, I don't know, I felt extremely comfortable, and I felt this. So the fact that I was singing sitting made a huge difference. Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. For you, anything you learned from recording?
Learned from the recording? Or
yeah, or from the creation process of Sleepless Empire.
Me? It's my turn.
I'll go with someone and I think about it.
Richard, what did you learn from the creation
process? For me, was something that we talked about at the beginning of the interview. It was
the beginning.
Was two things actually. One is the scheduling thing part of the process, and the second one is sort of how to put little blocks together to make it work.
Okay.
Because we had such few time to record it. I remember we were touring in the U.S. and everything had to be done before the tour. So like, writing the drum parts, getting the guitars recorded, getting everything done, and then I had like maybe 1 week to learn and practice the songs, and so I had to do my schedule to make it work the best, because I only had like 4 days to record the drums.
Gotcha.
4 days to learn, 4 days to record, something like that. And so I really, really had to set a proper schedule to do that at best. Mm-hmm. And later on also to help out Maki with, you know, synths or production, nerdy stuff.
Okay.
I learned mostly what Maki needs.
Mm-hmm.
He's the producer, so I cannot just throw a sound and pretend, oh, that's good. No, got to know what he needs and kind of make that process easier.
I think we also learned that pre-production is really important for records, because fact that you plan everything in advance will allow you to be more relaxed in the studio. So there are many parts that have been recorded in our own studio, and then some parts that have been recorded in the professional studio, let's say. So some vocal parts were recorded during the demo period, but we recorded in a good way because we considered that if the vocals recorded in the professional studio wouldn't be good, non sarebbero stati come.
Let's say that. Okay.
We still had not a backup, but we had vocals that we liked or recorded the proper way. So, worst case scenario, if I couldn't do better, if Andrea couldn't do better than this, and we liked better the previous recorded, we could have chosen between.
Yeah.
And say, oh, it was much better. The intention was better because you guys were relaxed in the studio.
The point is that everybody learned in this situation, even if we knew it already, you know, but we never had the chance to do it, is when you reach the moment that you stay in studio and record the album, when you know everything, you know, you really know how to do all the parts and the drum. You really know me. Well, I don't care about me. You know, play guitar, play bass, whatever. I do that home. If I record it, it's whatever, you know. But I'm about the drum. He arrived in the studio and he record perfectly everything in fucking 3 days. Boom, gone.
Yeah.
Not because it's here. It wasn't the same when we did Black Anima. It was way more stressful. We took a bit more time. We had some issues here and there, you know. This time, nothing, you know. That's because we arrived way more prepared there with vocals. We had all the vocal lines, but we had all the lyrics with all the words in the right place, in the proper place, you know. So I pretend from them to record everything before going to the studio.
Yeah.
They came to my studio, to our studio, in 2 weeks before we enter in the studio, and we record everything in the demo with the right fucking lyrics, you know, instead of not the last one or some just instead of the real words, because in that way you have already in your mind how it sounds like,
how
it will be, you know, and then you have pilot tracks. Well done. And then it's helpful, you know.
This is the first time, in 30 years.
Then, maybe we need to say thanks to these because we had more time, you know. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Or not, but at least this is the way to work, you know. You need to reach, as like in the past, when we were recording in the analog tape, you know, you need to arrive in studio and know the song perfectly. Now it's easy because you do everything with the computer. You don't even know the fucking song when you record the album. Then you learn it. You learn them. You know, it doesn't work in that way, no. And this is made this one actually is the main teaching.
Lesson.
Okay.
Also because the rest is more or less the same process, you know, like you go in the studio, you make the drum sound, you make the record, so you more relaxed, better studio, but more or less it's always the same problem. But this is the difference, like the fact that we were more prepared from the beginning.
Yes, I mean, you have to imagine that because sometimes I have them as well, even doing the vocal lines, you know, so... Sometimes, you know, you arrive in the studio and we change the vocal line the last second, you know, because, this one might sounds better, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have to adapt the lyrics and do that. It's annoying. In studio, you lose it. And we did already this in studio during the pre-production. It was done.
So
we remake it. We were practicing and learning and changing the stuff. Oh, this sounds better. So we reached the point to go into studio that we were ready, you know. Bam, so easy. We spend much more time to mix it than record the part.
You make it sound so easy. What a great result.
I mean, easy, but because we had a good pre-production, basically. So, and actually, we learned it, all of us, because we never did.
in 30 years we never had this massive, intense pre-production. So then, obviously, on my side, as far as I changed my place, my world, you know,
yeah.
No more my basement, going to the studio, yeah. So dress up, put fucking shoes, drive to the studio is not the same that fucking just jump out of the bed and grab the guitar and start to work, you know. It was very bad and annoying in the beginning, but after a while, my brain just set up in that way, and it started to work very well. It was very hard in the beginning, but at least we did this straight after the COVID, so we have a bit of time,
yeah.
You know, to set this one. And that one was the only thing. And now, actually, I learned even that just by myself, I learned how to work out of my own. So in this case, I can say...
Like many people in COVID.
Yeah, exactly. So even that is different, but actually now it works. In the beginning was hard, super hard.
Well, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Not only for taking time to talk so comprehensively about the album, but for the album itself, which is a genuine triumph, and you must be very, very proud. So thank you all, Lacuna Coil.
You're welcome, buddy.
I wish you were dead. I wish you were.
I just want to thank Lacuna Coil for taking time out on their busy schedule in London to do the interview. They really, you know, they jumped in. They did all of the talking. There was a lot of information. They didn't have to invest that kind of time. They did. I think that's a reflection of how much they embrace this and how much they enjoy talking about the music and just, I guess, a reflection of how genuine they are. And you cannot deny that the interview itself is extremely genuine. So thank you again, Lacuna Coil, for everything. Thank you for, of course, Sleepless Empire, right? You know, this is the first time we've had a chance to get together since it had been released. And it was a delight to see I Wish You Were Dead, which, of course, we need to review in the near future. Both the song and the video. We'll come into that in the next few episodes. But, yeah, it was great to talk to them, as always. Great to see them, and I look forward to catching up with the guys soon. Which brings us to a close. We are now done. Thank you, everybody, for listening in on the Empty Spiral podcast. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up or a subscribe or whatever it is you say these days to create engagement. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you want to connect with us, you can, of course, do so at the Empty Spiral website, which is www.emptyspiral.net. You can also connect with us via our Discord server, which you can find the link. And we're also on Facebook as well. And we support all of the communities. So please reach out, especially if you want to join us on the podcast. All I have to say is don't spend any more time listening to my voice. Listen to more Lacuna Coil.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye for now.